is like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you, child of God, servant of God. Thank you for participating in this School of Grace. And we have come to a very exciting segment of the School of Grace, which is when we now see how the grace of God, the abundance of God's grace, can make it possible for us to reign in life. And I actually mean reign in life. Because this is God's promise to us. This is the word of God, that as we receive grace, we will be able to reign in life because of the abundance of grace that we receive in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is God's plan, that because of his grace abounding to us, we will walk in victory. It does not mean there will be no challenges, but it does mean that in all these things, we, God's children, we will be more than conquerors through him who has loved us, reigning in life. And this study is divided into two segments. And what I want to do in this first segment is to establish from the word of God that this is the promise of God. This is the guarantee of God for us as believers in Christ. God never designed the Christian life to be a struggle. God never designed the Christian life to be a struggle. See, somebody who is carrying Jesus Christ inside, the Holy Spirit inside, and the Father God inside, such a person should not be struggling through life. You can't argue with what I'm saying. If somebody is carrying the God of heaven and earth and carrying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of all creation, and then the Spirit of the living God is resident in such a person, and the person is walking on planet Earth that God created, that Jesus conquered, such a person should not walk in defeat, even for a single moment, as long as he is carrying this indwelling. Now, as that person begins to draw grace from the throne of grace, it is manifest that such a person has no business with defeat at any point in time, if the person continues to walk in the full realization of the grace that has come. So you see, God did not design the Christian life to be a struggle. And you know, I have an attitude. When I read scripture talking about this kind of exceeding great and precious promises, I put my experience aside. I don't use my experience to judge the Bible. I use the Bible to change my experience. You see, somebody can say, "Ah, but Prophet, and this thing you are saying, look at us. Look at no, leave the way we are and concentrate on the promise of God that cannot fail." Because if we look up to that standard and we listen to God, the standard has the capacity to raise us to its level. But if we lower the standard, then there is no hope, except the standard is restored. That's why the Bible says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer to that is nothing. There's nothing a righteous person can do without a foundation under him. So in Romans chapter 5, and I suggest that you memorize this scripture as part of your training in the School of Grace. Memorize this scripture because it's of utmost importance. It says, and I'm reading the literal version here. You can read it from any versions, and I will be doing that even shortly. It says, "For if by the deviation of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who are receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall rule in life by the one, Jesus Christ." Listen to how the Richard Francis Weymouth translation puts it. Weymouth says, "For if through through the transgression of the one individual. Death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty. You see, it was by the transgression of one individual. His name, of course, you know, is Adam. It was by his sin that death used Adam to seize the sovereignty. So death became a king. That's why it's appointed unto man once to die on planet Earth. But who made death a king? It was a man. His name was Adam. How did death become a king? That one man was seduced by the devil. He sold mankind over to the devil. He obeyed Satan. And when you obey, the Bible says you become a slave. You become a servant of the one that you obeyed. So when sin entered, the Bible tells us that death entered through sin. And as soon as death entered, death became a king. Death began to rule. In fact, the Bible tells us that death even ruled over people that did not break a specific commandment like Adam. In other words, it's like death says, I have arrived and I am king now. And I have the legal right on planet Earth to reign over all flesh. One individual, by his sin, made death to seize the sovereignty. The Bible is now telling us, where Mark continues, that all the more shall those who receive God's overflowing grace and gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one individual, Jesus Christ. Those who receive God's overflowing grace and gift of righteousness will reign as kings in life. Notice, it's not when we get to heaven. See, they are going to reign as kings in life, beginning now, through the one individual, Jesus Christ. Does this mean that they are not going to face challenges? They are not going to face problems? Of course not. We are in a territory where those things happen. This is planet Earth. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, or rather the Bible says, God spoke to Noah. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, snow and heat, cold and heat, he said, they will not cease. Seed time and harvest, they will not cease as long as the earth remains. So there are certain things that will not disappear as long as this world is still there. This old world is still there. The reason is not because of you. The reason is because of where you are located. You see, if you got to Canada in January or in December and you are cold, it's not because you came. It's not because of you. You see, what I'm saying to you explains what happens to a lot of people. They don't realize. You try to personalize the troubles of life. These troubles don't come because of you. They are coming because of where you are located. The person who arrives in Canada in January is going to meet winter and snow. It's not because you came. It's because in this place, there is winter and snow at this time. That's why death happens in the world. Accidents, troubles, challenges, you know, issues at the workplace, persecutions, difficulties. You know, Satan attacks with sicknesses and he throws all of these things at believers. It's not because of you. Don't personalize trouble. Some people try to explain everything that comes to them in life. Well, you know, there was something your ancestors did. There is one wrong foundation under you. If you are in Christ, you already have the correct foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if that sure foundation is already present under you in your heart, then all the stories about maybe there is some false or wrong foundation, or there are some curses causing your problem. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. So, the point I'm trying to make is that this triumphant life of reigning as kings in life by the abundance of grace is not the absence of problems, but it is the presence of overwhelming abundance of God's grace and power that overwhelms the situation. That despite what is happening, this man and woman of God is living a victorious life. They are strong in the seasons of life. They prevail. You see, the purpose is not that darkness will disappear. The purpose of God is that the light will shine in the darkness. Jesus didn't say snakes and scorpions are going to disappear from the road along which you are going to travel. Jesus never said anything like that. What he said is that you will trample on snakes and scorpions. And in fact, I saw in Psalm 91 that you will even trample on the young lions. So imagine trampling on snakes, trampling on scorpions, and trampling on young lions. Trampling on lions. It's in the Bible. Read it in Psalm 91. So those snakes and scorpions and lions, they are on the road. But what is going to happen? They will not stop your journey. You will trample on them. In fact, one Bible version in that scripture in Luke chapter 10, 18, 19, 20, the Bible said, I have given you authority to advance by trampling on snakes and scorpions. So you are going to advance not when snakes and scorpions and problems and all the lions and attacks disappear from the road, but because of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will advance by trampling on snakes and scorpions. Hallelujah. And like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will rule in the midst of your enemies. You see, the fact that you are a king doesn't mean that there will be no uprising against you. But if you are a king that has power, you crush the coup and continue to reign on your throne. You crush the uprising and continue to be king. That you are still ruling. The fact that there was an uprising is normal. Of course, people want your cheer. They want to dethrone you. They want to make you a vassal. They want to bring you under. But because you have power and you are the king, you crush the rebellion and you continue to rule. So temptations and trials will arise, but ruling as a king in life means that you crush it. You trample on it because of the overwhelming abundance of grace. In other words, the grace of God so abounds in your life that it overwhelms everything that the enemy can throw at you. That is what the Bible is talking about. And you can see it in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see it in the life of the Apostle Paul and the life of the other apostles. They ruled in life. Oh, glory to the Son of God. This now brings me to a very important component, which is the twin conditions for reigning in life. So there are two things we must receive to reign as kings in life through Jesus Christ. So note that this triumphant life works through Jesus Christ by grace. This is important. Remember, it was Adam, it was one man that made death a king. But now, another man, the man from heaven, the last Adam, has arrived from heaven and he has brought the rulership, the sovereignty of life. I said he has brought the sovereignty of life. That's why you hear the Bible say, there is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8 from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to what the next verse said. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, sin and death are married together. They come together. But the law of the Spirit of life says that in Christ there is life. And in Christ, life will rule as a king. Just like one man made death a king, what the Bible is telling us is that another man has come that has made life a king. So what it means is that in Christ, there will be the reign of life in your mortal body, the life of God in your business, the life of God in your spirit, the life of God in time, the life of God for all eternity, the life of God that crushes temptation and establishes righteousness and holiness in the life of a person in this present world. Glory to the Son of God. Hallelujah. the life of God begins to rule. So it is in Christ. That's why, you know, if you participated in our studies when we looked at the indwelling, we saw that our hope of glory is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ inside, because that is the foundation for victory and for the triumphant life. In the name of Jesus. And in case you missed that study, you can access the entire study for free at theindwelling.net. If you go to theindwelling.net, you're going to find the complete, indwelling experience when we studied the fact that we are carrying God inside. It will change your life. Blessed be God forevermore. So here is the point now. So through Jesus Christ, there are now two conditions that anybody must find if the person is going to rule and reign as king in life. And look at those two conditions. It says, those who receive God's overflowing grace and the gift of righteousness, they will reign as kings in life. So, overflowing grace and then the gift of righteousness. So, the free gift of righteousness, which is right standing with God, of course, followed by upright living, is received when one turns from sin and trusts Christ for salvation. So this is only possible through grace. So you see, even the gift of righteousness, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So this gift of righteousness is a gift. So it's grace. You understand that? And the fact is that we can never, ever earn righteousness. There's nothing we're ever going to do that is going to make us accepted and acceptable in the sight of God. So he gives us righteousness as a gift when we receive Christ. For he has made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, so that's the first condition. Very important. But then, notice that the second component now talks about the abundance or the overflow of grace. This is very important. Now, the condition for reigning as a king in life is not just grace. It is something the Bible calls the abundance of grace, overflowing grace. Not just minimal grace, not just the presence of grace, but the quantity of grace. Listen closely to what I'm sharing with you. You see, you are going to find out from this study that trickles of grace cannot confront floods of iniquity or floods of the devil. You see, if you have a bucket of grace and Satan is coming at you with an ocean of attack, your bucket of grace will not be able to drive back the rage of the enemy. But imagine that the enemy is coming at you with the flood, but then you rise against him with the river. That's why you hear the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God, which is the river. Hey, hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the river of God, will rise as a standard against him. So notice that the answer for the flood is the river. And you know, rivers are far more powerful than floods. When the flood has passed, the river will still be there. A river has life. A flood is temporary. A flood will finish. It will peter out. The only problem with floods is the force with which they come. If you can stand against a flood long enough, the flood will finish. But not a river. Not a river, because the river has life and that river will drive back the flood. But imagine that you are trying to confront a flood with a teaspoon of whatever it is you want to pour. The flood will sweep you and your teaspoon away. You see, many believers think that because something is good, it is good enough. Even if it is not enough, the answer to that is no. Good is good, but good is not good enough if it is not enough. this thing I'm sharing with you is a life-changing principle. See, God explained these things to me because I'm asking, how come I have believed? I have read this thing in the Bible. Why is it not working? Until the Lord began to teach me that quantity matters. That's why you think you just quote one verse of the Bible and all the demons in hell will run away from you. You are joking. When the devil said, it is written. First of all, Jesus said, when the devil spoke, Jesus said, it is written. Then the devil said, it is written. Jesus said, it is written again. In other words, Jesus knew the it is written that answers Satan, it is written. What if he had only one it is written? What if the word of God was not abounding inside him, the living word himself? That's why the Bible tells us several instructions. Say, let the word of Christ dwell in you. No, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, 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 richly. Richly, he's talking about quantity now, not just presence. You see, the grace that you are going to use to reign in life will not be ordinary level grace. Ordinary level grace cannot confront postgraduate attacks. They cannot confront postgraduate problems. If you are facing, and this is a problem with many believers, iniquity is abounding in the world. But they are confronting an abundance of iniquity with a paucity of grace. Scarce grace, small grace, minimal grace cannot confront abundance. Bible says, because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity is everywhere. Then you read one verse of your Bible and you expect to live above sin. Impossible. This is why a lot of people are defeated. They don't understand how the thing works. So the twin conditions for reigning in life is that, first of all, there must be the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. And if you're a believer, you've repented from your sins and received Christ, you already have that. But apart from the gift of righteousness, the Bible is now talking about the abundance, the overflow of grace. So where does this overflow come from? Aha! That is going to lead us to the sources of grace, which we are going to discuss, after all of this. Because we now need to study. So where am I going to get this grace from? So this reception of grace now becomes a continual influx. Influx. So imagine grace pouring, pouring, pouring into your spirit continuously. You see, the problem is that many of those who have received the free gift of righteousness, they are not continuously downloading. They are not continuously downloading this abundance of grace that makes it possible to reign in life. If you listen to what I'm teaching, if you listen to these words of life and power, they will change your life. It will change your ministry. The key, why problems look too difficult, is what you are using to confront them. Why the situation looks insoluble is because of what you are bringing to the table. Imagine that Satan speaks one word and an overwhelming abundance of grace pours out of your spirit. You will overwhelm the enemy because Jesus already spoiled him. Why should he spoil us after Christ crushed his head? Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So in the midst of all these shakings happening in this generation, the rage of the enemy, the multiplication of iniquity, and the challenges, the troubles, the pressures. Listen, the grace of God, the overflowing grace of God, is available to you to reign as a king in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a grace, there is a level of grace. In the next segment of this reigning in life, we are going to look at levels of grace. Because you see, there are levels of grace. There is grace that overwhelms challenges. There is grace that makes mincemeat of giants, swallows opposition, and neutralizes the crafts of hell against the believer. But note, this grace is simply the sum total of all the divine provisions available for every believer for each and every situation. Remember that we have seen holistic grace. Grace is not just inner enablement. Grace includes every divine provision. Everything that we receive from God comes to us on the platform of grace. And if we continue to find this overflowing, overwhelming grace, we will certainly reign in life through the abundance of grace. Hallelujah. So the one who finds sufficient grace can go through anything and prevail. Grace enables the weakest individual to face anything and to overcome. But in the absence of grace, everything is impossible. Everything is difficult. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. So this is the real matter. Many of us who have received this gift of righteousness, we are not contracting, we are not downloading the abundance of grace. And that's why life looks so tough. Remember, we saw that the people that survived the sword, they found grace in the wilderness. Even Jacob, Israel, when I went to give him rest. That scripture in Jeremiah 31, I believe. So if you find sufficient grace, you will survive the wilderness. You will thrive. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Now, before I draw this to a close, this segment, there is something I want to point out to you. Notice that sin itself, when we read Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, we see that for sin to reign, sin itself multiplied. Sin multiplied. Sin had to multiply for sin to reign. Where sin abounded, grace much, much, much more abounded. So notice that for sin to reign, when sin entered, sin could not reign until it multiplied. You see, the point here is that the multiplication principle before reigning is applicable both to sin and to grace. Here is the point. See, sin entered in chapter 3. I'm sure you remember in the book of Genesis, it was in chapter 3 that Adam and Eve fell. That was when the fall took place. But listen to chapter 6, verse 5. So, three chapters down the line, look what has happened in verse 5. He said, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." How did the wickedness of man become great in the earth? Sin just entered three chapters ago. And then God saw that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Listen to how the Message version puts this thing. See, for sin to reign, sin knew that there is no reigning without multiplication. You hear what I just said? It's also a business principle, and I'm coming to that. Nothing reigns until it abounds. Whether it's in the marketplace or in the church place or in the spiritual place, nothing reigns until it abounds. Even in medicine, do you know that disease cannot reign until it abounds? There must be an abundance of anything before that thing can reign. See, the first level is presence. Then the next level is quantity, is abundance. Sin could not multiply until sin entered. But as soon as sin entered, sin began to multiply. Listen to the Message version of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. He said, "God saw that human evil was out of control." People thought evil, imagined evil, 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 evil from morning to night. Say, God saw that human evil was out of control. The evil just entered three chapters ago, but look what is going on now. It's out of control. May grace become kind of out of control. You know what? Let the grace, the true grace of God, I'm not talking of, you know, what people call grace, this hyper grace thing that does not allow somebody or that gives somebody a license to live in sin. The Bible does not teach that. But picture a place where the grace of God is overflowing, is overflowing, is raging inside your spirit, in your family, from your mouth, from your head. Grace is oozing out of you. What is it that the enemy can bring that this all-sufficient grace of God cannot handle? So sin had to multiply for sin to reign. And when sin multiplied, it became possible for sin to reign even over people who did not break a specific commandment like Adam. And you can see that in this terminal generation, as iniquity is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. Sin is reigning over many. Blessed be God forevermore. And so, the principle here is that nothing reigns until it abounds. No business rules the marketplace until it abounds. Mega corporations and huge monopolies, they don't reign until they abound. Their products become omnipresent, almost. Look at Coca-Cola or some other product. The product become ubiquitous. You will find it. I have traveled around the world. You will see Coke in many places, almost everywhere on the planet. So when those kind of companies have multiplied, then they reign. They just entrench themselves and they reign. And people will be drinking the thing for the next 100 years if Jesus tarries. The advertisement will change. The bottle will change. But if Coca-Cola just produced 5 bottles and then they stayed in Atlanta in the U.S., how will they reign in the market? How will they control the soft drinks market? But for them to be able to reign, they multiplied. Nothing reigns until it abounds. Even disease. Let me say this to you before I draw to a close. Do you know that sicknesses cannot reign in somebody's body until they multiply, until they abound? When a virus enters into somebody's body, the first stage is entry. It penetrates, it gets into the cell. The next stage is viral multiplication. Whether it is even, whether it's malaria or something else or bacteria, once the thing enters the next stage, the thing begins to use the resources of the host of the body to multiply. And while it is multiplying, that is the period that is like an incubation period. The person is still well. Look at coronavirus, for instance. It can come, and for 2 weeks, the person is still well. But within those 2 weeks, the thing is multiplying. And then, when it has now multiplied and overwhelmed the person's defenses, it begins to rain inside the person's body. And of course, it's a rain of death. Likewise, it's a principle that is parallel in both the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. When you read in Acts of the Apostles, the Bible said, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Why didn't it prevail before it grew? Nothing prevails until it grows. Nothing reigns until it abounds. And so in this first segment of our study, we are seeing here that God wants us to reign in life, not when we get to heaven. Here on earth, God wants us to reign as kings in life. But there are two conditions. There are two conditions for that we make this possible. The first one is the gift of righteousness. You must receive the gift of righteousness. You cannot earn salvation. And then the second one is an abundance of grace, an overflow of grace. And where will this overflow of grace come from? It will come as we engage the sources of grace, which we are going to be studying in the school of grace. You see, there are sources of grace, but we will have to engage the sources of grace to download an abundance of grace. And then the more we do that, we are going to reign in life. You will walk in victory. You know what is going to happen? The grace of God in your life will overwhelm the challenges. The challenges will be present. But there will be power that is made perfect in your weakness. The grace of God will crush and prevail. Satan will be waiting for you to collapse, but he will wait in vain. He will throw terrible things at you, but in all of these things, you will be more than a conqueror. In Jesus' name. So, if you have not received the gift of righteousness, are you righteous in the sight of God? Are you still living in sin? You can repent from your sin now and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, to become your righteousness. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse your heart. You cannot earn righteousness. All of the good works that you are doing, they are good, but they cannot earn you salvation. They cannot earn you right standing in the presence of God. So repent from your sin now and ask the grace of God to help you. in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we now ask, Father, the grace of God to bring cleansing for and bring the gift of righteousness. Receive the gift of righteousness in Jesus' name. And eternal Father, we are praying that, Father, now that Christ is present, we are asking that grace will grow in our hearts until it abounds, until it overflows continually, and we reign as kings in life in Jesus' name. Thank you for this promise, because it will manifest in our lives to the glory of your name and for the blessing of humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Please check this thing that I'm teaching. Take your Bible and study it for yourself. I'm not asking you to accept this thing because I said so. Look at the word. Be like the Berean Christians. Review this thing for yourself, and you will see that God wants you to reign as a king in life. But it will not be possible simply because you go to church. It will not happen simply because you read Bible occasionally. It is going to happen because you have received the gift of righteousness, and you are continuing to receive and download Lambano, the abundance of grace. In our next lesson, we are going to be looking at that word Lambano, because that is the word that talks about the reception of this abundant grace that makes it possible for us to reign in life. God bless you.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful.